Good morning. I am Jimmy Hudson. I am the family ministry coordinator here at Restore Community Church. I am an elder in training. I am a pastor in training. I am the janitor. I am I am on staff here, and it is a joy. If you don't know me, my family and I, we moved here back in August. After years of doing missions with Restore Community Church and just really feeling like family, year and a half ago now, I really felt like the Lord was calling us, and within 6 months, it was all set up, and then, unfortunately, we were here. It's been a real blessing, and just to watch God work as we've come in our family. But we are honored to be. We've been part of the Restore family here for a long time, but we're honored to be here in Wichita. Still love Texas a little more, but Kansas is growing on us. The last few weeks, if you've been here, Rob has been preaching on, started with just mental illness and addiction and these things that just can weigh on us, but looking at how from God's eyes, how do we come out of those things, and what kind of glory can we bring God in those, and what does opposition look like in our lives? And last week he talked about singing Amazing Grace with a bloody lip, and he used one of my favorite theologians ever, Rocky Balboa. You know, he said, it's not how hard you get, but it's how hard can you get hit and get back up, right? I'm not going to try to do the Rocky face because it'd be ugly. So through that, when I found out that I was on board this week, I just really praying, God, what is it? What is it that you want us to hear on Sunday morning? And I really felt this word endure is what he gave me. And so what we're talking about this morning is until God calls you home, endure. And so what does this word endure mean? I found this definition, and I think it's so fitting. So endure means to remain firm under suffering or misfortune without yielding, though it is difficult, we must endure. And so that's the definition we're going to look at today. We got to remain firm. Through our suffering, through our misfortune, we must endure. So I ran a 5K once, it wasn't me. This is a vlog I read. I will never run a 5K. I don't think that's, God has called me to be a long-distance person. Maybe a Spartan race someday, you know, those are kind of fun. But I read this blog probably a couple weeks ago, and I put it out for our family to read. And I believe this is really what stirred originally in me to think about this word endure. So I'm going to read it to you and let you hear kind of how my heart got stirred. It does start with, I ran a 5K once. Once is the operative word. I might do it again someday when the faint smell of impending death finally leaves my nostrils. The race was fine. It was the runner who had a problem. I had always wanted to do it and wondered if I could. So when I turned 40, a friend of mine said he would run it with me. His company put on an annual 5K as a fundraiser for a local charity, and he had done it before. So with the promise of a running buddy, he signed up. We trained separately, but on race day, he promised he would stay with me the whole time. I figured that promise would fade away once we got there, and the lure of the finish line and a good time would overrun alongside dead weight. I was wrong. My friend John, he stayed with me every step of the way. And I do mean step, because I ran some, I walked some, I prayed a lot. And the entire time I thought my lungs are going to explode. My legs, they feel like lead, and I think this is how I'm going to die. 5K seems so much shorter on a piece of paper. After all, a 5K is really a small computer file size. But on this particular course, a 5K felt like an endless loop. But I endured, I finished the race, and I got the t-shirt. It was really about the finish line of the t-shirt. I was proud of that t-shirt, but now 5 years later, a few pounds heavier, I don't ever wear that t-shirt, but I survived. Some seasons of life are like that. They seem okay when you step in and it's so much more than you realized it would be. It's hard, it's painful, and you just want to stop. But you have to see it through to the end. You have to endure. And as a parent, these seasons are part of life. Endurance is a word associated with triathletes, not families. In fact, Some might even take issue with it being used in that context. I can't imagine a wife being happy with her husband responding to a moment of time spent together by saying, "I endured it." Or a parent being happy with a child enduring the words of wisdom they are trying to impart. But parenting families requires endurance. There are sexier words like commitment, for example, but commitment feels like something in our head at times. Endurance feels like something that requires something of us, physically, mentally, and emotionally. And family requires enduring those seasons, like illness, hormones, new freedoms, and bad choices. The t-shirts for this race are poop or vomit stained or years out of fashion. But you endure, you keep going, because the cost of stopping is too great. The relationship with your kids is too important. You have to see them through. When you're younger, you may be holding their hand through their race, and as they get older, seeing them through may be simply cheering on the sidelines and praying fervently as they take step after step on their own. And if you have more than one child, you get to walk through those seasons in a different way with each different child. It all requires endurance, staying the course, and never leaving, seeing it through to the end. Sometimes that involves running, other times walking, limping, or even crawling, because the race was meant to be finished. And to do that, sometimes you just have to endure. I think most of us in here can really relate to this blog as parents, as walked alongside their kids. But even if we haven't, we can all relate to what it takes to endure. As a young kid trying to get through school, trying to make choices, trying to do what your parents want you to do, as a single, trying to just live this life as best you can and follow God as best you can. Some of us are in sickness and illness. Some of us just came out of surgery. And so there are different things we're all trying to endure. And so if you put it in context, we're all going through some trial, tribulation, some test, something in our lives that is just pushing us down, but we have to endure. Or maybe we just came out of that season, and we'll talk about what that means too. And so, but we want to talk to what it means to endure. So a couple of questions to kind of start us off is, what race are you enduring? Kind of gave you some examples. Think about that yourself. What race did you just come out of? Do you find yourself sometimes questioning God's goodness, God's wisdom in allowing these things to happen? Have you thought about giving up? Wouldn't it just be easier to give up? Sometimes I think we believe that. But as Christians, we must endure. We must endure. And our boom for today is this. Our ability to endure suffering, trials, and tribulations and reach the finish line of faith comes when we realize the need for suffering in our life and stand on God's promises of hope and salvation for this life and, more importantly, the one to come. If you're new, the boom is basically just the big idea we were hoping you take away today. And so as we talk through Scripture, as we talk through some points, this is the summary. This is the wrap-up that we want you to walk out of here today. Sorry. So that's our boom. And so, but why? So we read the definition of endurance. We read our boom. We know we're supposed to endure, but why? And so first reason we'll look at why is because God's love for us does. His love, according to Psalm 136, verses 1 through 9, says this: "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who by understanding made the heavens, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who spread out the earth above the waters, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who made the great lights, for His steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, His steadfast love runs forever. And the moon and the stars over the night, you got it, His steadfast love endures forever." So this God who created everything, and if you keep reading on in this psalm, it goes into talk more about how actually, even though God did all these things, we walked away from Him, we put it back in His face, we ignored Him, we were disobedient. It still says His steadfast love endures forever. His love will never change. What more can we hold on to as we walk through trials and tribulations and the things that are just keeping us feel like we're down than to trust and know that it doesn't matter where I've been, where I'm at, His love endures forever. So that's number one. Why we must endure is because His love does. And we can put our trust in that. Number two says, because God's promises, His dominion, and His kingdom does. So we go back to Scripture and we look at Daniel 4:3. How great are His signs, how mighty His wonders, His kingdom, an everlasting kingdom, and His dominion endures from generation to generation. So this dominion is God's rule. His rule is forever. It endures. It doesn't go away. His kingdom, there's a theological principle called the already not yet kingdom. And so as Christians, we live in this already kingdom because we have the Holy Spirit. We have Jesus in us. And so we are in the kingdom. But there's a day coming when Jesus comes back and this kingdom is going to come back and there's going to be a new earth and a new heaven. And so we look to that day, but whether we're there or not yet, we know it's not changing, it's not going away, it endures, it is forever. And so we endure because His love does. We endure because His kingdom and His dominion does. And then if you look at Psalms 145:13, it says, "Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom again, and your domain, or dominion, endures throughout all generations." And then this, "The Lord is faithful in all His words and kind in all His works." So as we look in Scripture and we read the promises that say there's going to be a new earth and a new heaven, that we are saved by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ, that we can overcome because we have the Holy Spirit, because Jesus overcame the grave, because He overcame Satan, we do have that. We have those promises that we can stand on. So in the darkest of days, in the darkest of times, in our trials and tribulations, we can stand firm in the fact that His love never fails, that nothing can overrule His kingdom, and that His words are true, and that we can stand firm on those. Point three. Big one. Because Jesus did. The author and perfecter of our faith, that Scripture says who Jesus is, the one who endured pain even to death on a cross. He endured. He carried through what God called Him to do. On the night before His death, He was in the garden, and you know, He went to pray by Himself, and He told the disciples, "Hey, stay awake and pray." And he prayed, "God, if You can, take this cup away from me." But then He said, "But if this is Your will, God, then so be it." And so He endured, knowing from the time He was born that His future was to die on a cross in a horrific, painful way, so that we as children of God can be made right again with the Father. He endured that. He endured that for you. He endured that for me. In the Scripture, in Hebrews 12:3, it says this is one of the reasons why He did this. It says, "Consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself, so you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." So He came, He died on that cross, He rose again so that we may be right with God again, that may we one day spend an eternity with Him. But He also did it for this reason, so that in your trials, in your tribulations, in your dark places, in your sickness, in your health, in your addiction, in your divorce, whatever that may be, He did that so you would not grow faint-hearted, so that you would know that His dominion, His kingdom, His words, they endure forever. So Christian, don't go weary. Don't grow faint-hearted. Jesus endured so that you would endure too. Point four. So another reason why we need to endure is to obtain the prize, to become more like Jesus, and to see others obtain the same salvation. Matthew 24:13 says that, "But to all those endure, to the end will be saved." So this isn't talking about, I can't work my way into salvation. It's not saying, man, if I push really hard and I try to do more good than bad, and I really push through to the end, and the day I die, I'm going to be saved. It's not what it's saying here. This is more of a good work. This is saying, well done, good and faithful Christian. You pushed to the end, you endured, and you did that because of what Jesus did on the cross. You did that because of your salvation. And so that's it's kind of like a, I made it. So it's not a works-based thing. It's a, hey, I pressed on for the goal, for the prize, for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, His call on my life. So we'll sing a song later on just talking about these crowns that we receive as we say yes, yes, Lord. And so this is the day that we'll be able, we'll get these crowns, but more importantly, we'll be able to lay them right back at Jesus' feet because of what He did in our lives. And so we obtain, we push through for a prize, Paul says, not that we'll rust and fade away. We push through for these crowns that one day we'll be able to give back to Jesus when we meet Him in heaven. So Paul says, I said this already once, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. I don't know about you, but I long for that day. I long for that day when God looks at me and says, well done, good and faithful servant. You fought the good fight, you finished the race, and you kept the faith. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to screw up, that it doesn't mean that I'm not going to be in those times of turmoil and falter and think, God, why? But I'm going to endure and push through because of the Holy Spirit that's in me, because of Jesus Christ, and one day, because of His glory, for His glory, hear these words. So as you walk through these trials, as you come out of sickness, as you come out of the nasty divorce, as you come out of a time of struggle as a teenager, whatever that may be, there's a reason. There's a reason for all of this. God has given you a testimony to share with somebody. He's given you this testimony so that others may see what He has done in your life, so others may hear how He worked in your life and how He brought you out of that. Paul says it like this to Timothy. He says, therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So I know if you're right in the middle of that turmoil, you can't see it, it's hard. But when you come out of that, remember what God did in your life. Remember how He worked. If you came out of that and you see someone who's struggling in there, go share with them. Go talk to them. Let them know what God has brought you out of. You guys recognize this guy? Anybody know who that is? Yeah, this is Wichita's claim to fame boxer. Nico, great guy. He went to the Olympics. He's a boxer. He took bronze in the Olympics. He's had two pro fights recently. He had one back in May where he knocked the guy out, KO'd him in the third, sixth round, doesn't matter. But most recently, last week, he had this big fight, his second pro fight, and the odds were stacked against him. Nobody thought he could win. Everybody said there's just no way. But Nico, from the very get-go, believed that he could win. I believe the other boxer's name was Jorge, and, you know, they did their typical weigh-in thing, and they came face-to-face, you know, they bow up, and talked their smack and went away. But Nico continued to train. He never doubted the fact that if he trained hard enough, if he pushed and endured, that he could beat this guy. And so in the third round, he knocked this guy out. The trainer said, for the other guy, said something like this, he was like a tornado. Man, we didn't even know what hit us. He just came out swinging and just took us down. So he endured, he fought. But that's not actually why I put his picture up there. I put his picture up there because about 6 years ago, sorry, let me take a drink here. About 6 years ago, Nico's dad, who was also his trainer, went through a nasty divorce. He had four young kids, and he was working 60 hours a week as a mechanic. He was training Nico. He was training other kids in the neighborhood at the local gym, and he was broken. He said, God, I can't do this anymore. I can't. I don't know what you want me to do, but God help. I don't know what to do. And he was at a point of turmoil and tribulation and trial and just darkness, and he didn't know what to do. So he cried out to the Lord and said, God help me. And about that same time, there was a lady here in Wichita who was coming closer to the end of her life, and she had, you know, accumulated some wealth. And she was praying, God, what do I do with this? This is your money. What do I do with it? So she began praying and writing checks to youth areas throughout the city. And one of the things, one of the people that God put in her heart was Nico's dad. And so she wrote a check for $10,000. And she came and she put it on his porch. And he found out who it was and called her and all these things. And he said, that money allowed us to get back on our feet. That gave me the hope I needed to get out of this pit and be able to walk on. And so I'm not saying this to say that, yes, okay, God, bring the finances. You can do it. This is not about prosperity. What this is about is two people. One, trapped in darkness, stuck in a life, not knowing how to get out, seeking the Lord. And one, who's come out of that darkness and is seeking the Lord to see how they can help. And so she did that. And she allowed this family to get back on their feet and allowed him, he was ready to quit boxing, his dad was. He didn't want to help anymore. He couldn't do it. He couldn't do 60 hours a week and this. But this allowed him to continue to work with his son, continue to work and pray, and this is what happened. And so now, Nico is standing on top of his life, of where God has him, and seeking the Lord in that. And so again, it's not about the money or any of that. It's about two people in different places, enduring in different ways, and using that for God's glory so that others may see what he's done in their life. So ultimately, what really is our endurance for? In the boom, we said that we have to realize what suffering means in our life. Why do I suffer? William Barclay said, he gave this pretty awesome quote. He says, endurance is not just the ability to bear a hard thing, but to turn it into glory. And so when I suffer, when I endure, when I continue to walk alongside the Lord as we do this, I'm doing this for His glory. And so I am not my struggle. Whatever I am going through does not define me. What defines me is a child of God with the Holy Spirit in me, and I am walking alongside with Him. And so we do these, we go through these things so that we may bring glory to God. So we train, we push, we strive, we endure, but it's not on our own. You may say, okay, great, Jimmy. You said, yeah, I have to endure, and you gave me a really awesome story about how a guy came out of it and what Scripture says and what God does, but you don't know where I am. You don't know how hard it is. Maybe I don't, but God does. And you're not in this on your own. We are called to endure, but not by ourselves. And we're going to talk about four R's today that will hopefully give you an idea of what that means, that you're not in this on your own. Well, the first one is righteousness. And so this righteousness is not our own. This is nothing I can do. This righteousness comes from Jesus Christ. Well, Scripture says that His righteousness is imparted on us. And so this righteousness that we receive, that is put on us, it's not a righteousness that's going to come inside and clean me up and make me all better. It's a righteousness that Jesus paid for on the cross. When He died and bled on that cross, He paid for all my sins, all my struggles, all my sorrows. He paid for these things, and His righteousness is now imparted on me. But what this righteousness does do is it does empower us in a couple of ways. Corinthians 5:21, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, and you guys have probably heard this, for our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. And so, it's not going to be on the screen, but we're going to go to Philippians 3 next. And so if you want to turn there, you can. Philippians 3, 8 through 13. And we're going to look at what does this righteousness really do for me as we're talking about enduring. What did Jesus do and how does this work in my life? And so I'll read it and then we'll talk about a couple of points that comes out of this Philippians verse. Philippians 3, 8 through 13. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I can gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess the perfection which Christ Jesus first possessed for me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. So there's three things that I think we can take away from this verse, talking about what this righteousness, what Jesus' righteousness imparted on me, what does it allow me to do? And the first thing it allows me to do, it gives me the power to know him. And this knowing him is not just a knowledge of, but it's a personal knowledge of who Jesus is, what he's done in our life, how he's paid for our sin, all these things we talked about. So it's really allows me to know who he is. And so this suffering, this enduring, Jesus suffered. And he said suffering's coming for us. And so to really know him, to know what he went through, I suffer too. And so this suffering, this enduring, this pushing through allows me to know him in a more deeper, intimate way. Then it gives me the power to be like him. And so this is hard. Growing up in the area I grew up in and talking about suffering, it's not something normal. There is a lot of talk about, the Christian life is an easy one and God is with me and nothing will ever go wrong and all these things we hear. Not true. Yeah, there are good times. And yes, the Lord is good to us. But really, honestly, the Christian life is one of suffering. Paul even said this. He said in verse 10, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. To have new life, to understand the true reality of enduring and going through means that we have to die. There's going to be pain, and those things have to die off. When Jesus came out, when he rose from the dead, and he had victory over death, that allowed the Holy Spirit to come. So death has to come. And so we pray for me to really know what Jesus did and really be able to understand and really be more like him, I have to die first too. So that's what Paul is saying here. I want to suffer like Jesus. I want to be more like him. I want to be raised from the dead. I want to experience that power that raised Jesus from the dead. I heard a story once of a pastor, well-known pastor and urban pastor, and just really on fire. And this young guy came to him and he said, "I want to be like you. I want to have the ministry that God gave you. I want to see people come to the Lord like you do. I want to preach like you do." And he said, "Would you mind praying for me?" And this pastor said, "Sure." And he prayed, "Lord, let this young man experience persecution like no other. Let him have pain and suffering and let people call him names." And I just went on and on and on. He said, "Why? Why would you pray that?" He said, "If you want to have the ministry that I have, you want to know how God worked in my life, then these are things you've got to go through." And I think it's the same thing like Jesus. As we try to become more and more like Jesus as Christians, to be Christ-like, we have to know what he went through. We have to go through what he went through so that we can experience that and come out on the other side and give God that glory. John Piper, in a quote about this righteousness, he says, "Remember, Christ is your righteousness. He is your righteousness in heaven. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't get better when your faith is strong. It doesn't get worse when your faith is weak. It is perfect. It is Christ. Look away from yourself. Rest in him. Lean on him." In the middle of that trial, in the middle of that darkness, in the middle of that tribulation, whatever you're going through, it doesn't change. Whether you, God, why? His righteousness doesn't change. It's there for us. It's imparted to us. It's always the same, and we can rest in that. not on ourselves, not on me. Yeah, I got to push through, I got to endure. But it's because of what Jesus did and how his righteousness is in me and on me. So we have righteousness, and then we have respite. Respite is a term I first learned talking about foster care. You know, is you give foster parents a respite, a break. But I like this definition is even better. It says a short period of rest or relief from something difficult or unpleasant. Jesus got away. He went away and prayed. God incarnate himself got away. We have to too. You've got to find a time to get away. Spend time with the Lord. You've got to be in prayer. You can't carry this burden by yourself. Jesus said his yoke is light. His burden is easy. Bring it to him. You say, but I've got 5 kids. How am I going to get up and have quiet time? I don't know. But we've got to find time. Maybe it's from the time you send one off on the bus until the next one has to go. Maybe it's in the bathroom with little fingers under the door. Mom, what you doing? Right? Maybe it's on a drive somewhere. Maybe it's why, you know, you're taking the kids to work and on the way back, hopefully the little one fell asleep and is taking a nap and you can just pray, listen to worship music. Maybe your persecution is at work. Maybe people know your faith and they lash out on you for it. Maybe you've got a horrible boss. Maybe that's the only time you have. At lunch, take time. Pray. Seek the Lord. But we've got to find time. We have to find respite, time away from whatever that struggle is, to be able to seek the Lord and put it on him. Hopefully, in a perfect world, we're all having a quiet time at 5 a.m. every morning, right? I don't even want to get out of bed at 5 a.m. But we have to find some time. So find those short times, but try to build in some longer ones. Maybe it's at night. Maybe it's you and your wife doing it together. Who knows? But just try to find some time to get that respite. We need to realize what righteousness means in our life, how that helps us carry forward. We've got to find respite. And then we've got some resources. And these aren't your typical resources. You know, yeah, I can give you the scripture. Yes, God's word is definitely a resource that we have to be in. But it's not something like physically can hand you. These are things that come directly from God. These resources, the first one is God's grace. Scripture says that God's grace is renewed every morning. So maybe your trial, maybe is a sin that you just can't get rid of. You can't get over. And you screw up the day before. You can't walk in the next day and let that keep you down. You've got to walk through. You've got to pray. Ask God to forgive you and walk in that grace. That grace is so important. It's how we're saved. It's what God imparted on us. And so we've got to remember that grace in the midst of all the trials. And then our power is not our own. Our power comes from God. And that power, like Paul talked about, that he wanted to know, that raised Jesus from the dead, is in each and every one of his believers. Each and every one that has followed Christ has the Holy Spirit in us. So we have the power that raised Christ from the dead to walk out, to be able to walk in the middle of the trial and then come out on the other side. And so that's his power. And again, we talked about the Word of God. So these resources, you know, they're not tangible, but neither is our battle. Our battle is a spiritual one. And so we want to battle under spiritual realm. And so we want to walk in these resources that God gives us from a spiritual side. So we have righteousness, we have respite, we have resources, and then we need to remember. So we always need to remember how God brought us out of something, how he rescued us. But I think it's even more important when you're in the middle of another battle, when you're about ready to give up, when you don't think you can fight anymore and you can't push through anymore. Remember how God brought you out. How did he rescue you already? And praise him in that. Be quick. Praise him as soon as it comes to mind. God, thank you that you brought me out of that. God, I know that you can bring me out of this again, God, but I'm going to walk by faith in this, and I'm going to trust you, though no matter what you bring me through, you're doing it for the good, for your glory and for my good. And that's hard to think, but it's what Scripture tells us. We need to remember, again, we're not alone. We're not in this battle by ourselves. We have Jesus Christ in us. We have his power. We have the Holy Spirit, and we have his community. God's given us this body. Galatians, Galatians or Ephesians, but basically talks about as we carry our burdens, we are supposed to come along one another and actually pick them up and help carry them through that burden. And so you're not in this by yourself. Grab another believer, grab another friend, grab another Christian, and walk with them, pray with them, help them walk you through this. You're not alone in this battle. Talked about it once already. Your situation does not define you. You are a child of God as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ. So your situation does not define you. And then this one, our time on earth is temporary. We are promised an eternity with God. And the bonus with that in Revelation, it says that when we spend that eternity with God, there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more sorrow, there'll be no more sickness, there'll be no more hurt. So yeah, now it's tough. But it's temporary. So we need to endure. We need to press on. And we need to press on for God's glory. That's why we press on. So there's a song we've sung here before, and it's called "O Come to the Altar." I'll read a couple of the words, and then we're going to listen to the song. And so in the midst of that listening, think about these words. Think about who God is. Think about what Jesus has done. Remember how he's brought you out of trials and tribulations. If you're in one, seek him, listen to these words, and let him comfort you as you walk through that trial. Are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today. There's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade it from joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. One of the things that I don't think I said, that this righteousness that is a part of us helps us do, it keeps us looking forward. A lot of times when we get out of that struggle, we get out of that trial, we have a tendency to turn around and think about or look at what we did, what we went through. It's okay to remember, but we got to look forward. We are not defined by that action, by what we did. We got to look forward. So as you listen to this song, just think about those words. Seek God. Ask God. God, again, praise you for what you brought me through. If you're going through a struggle, ask him to help you. And just let these words. Our ability to endure suffering, trials, and tribulations, and reach the finish line of faith comes when we realize the need for suffering in our life and stand on God's promises of hope and salvation for this life and, more importantly, the one to come. All of these scriptures I gave you today, every one of them, if you keep reading, it all talks about worshiping God. Everything that he takes us through, all these suffering, it's all to bring worship and glory to him. And so the band's going to come up, and we're going to come back into a time of worship and just really seeking after the Lord. Just, again, I ask you to pray that if you've gone through and you're on the other side of this, pray that God will lead you to somebody in here today that's going through that same thing, and go to them. Go pray to them. If you are one that's going through that, we'll have people up here praying for you. You can come to them, let us pray for you. But most importantly, let's just worship God through this next couple of songs and just seek him. So God, as as the band comes up, God, we remember. I know we're going to take communion in a little while, and God, we remember what Jesus has done. Jesus, as your blood paid for our sin, as your body was broken, may we remember what you did for us and how. God, you do that so we wouldn't be faint-hearted, God. You did that so that we would have joy. So I just ask that you would, just again, Holy Spirit fall, that you would just touch everyone in this room, and this would be a time of worship to you, you who is worthy. We look forward to the day you come back, Jesus, and we want to pray for that guy, but we want to know, remember why you have us here, and seek those things out and endure and share you with others. So just open our hearts and our minds and our mouths as we worship you in song. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.